Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. I'm your host, Adam Epstein, and you're listening to D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond. You can hear us 910 a.m., 105.1 FM, and always available on the go and around the country with the free Odyssey app. And as we move into October, got Metal Chris running the ones and twos, and I wanted to open the show with how this is my favorite month outside of my birthday in December, because I love spooky season and sports. And Halloween at the end of the month, of course, gives everybody a chance to be something else once a year. I always liked, as a kid, to dress up as a professional basketball player, right? Someone you've always wanted to be. Or maybe you just want to look good, look sexy, whatever it is. You can choose. It's up to you. So you combine the Halloween spirit with the amount of sporting events that take place in the month of October. It's why I love it so much. College basketball season will begin at the end of the month. Same with the NBA. And the NHL is about to start. College football is now in the conference portion of the schedule where it really heats up. And this is a crucial month in the NFL. And as Dan Quinn said to the podium and the media this week, he needs to see a sense of urgency from his team in October. And this will be a big test here for Washington. 4 weeks into the season, here's what I've been saying. 4 weeks into the season, last year we had this incredible motto, and I loved everything about what Dan Quinn brought with his leadership, and then in the playoffs it was brotherhood, belief, and beat you. But for the regular season, it was anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I feel like those guys really believed in that last year. And everybody fought for Dan Quinn, for their second chance opportunity, for the excitement of a rookie quarterback and a regime that had just come in here and replaced ownership. But somehow, no matter of one offseason, anybody, anywhere, anytime has morphed into anybody, anytime, only at Northwest Stadium. This team that went to Detroit when everybody was picking the Lions and knocked them off in their building in the division round of the playoffs last year has started slow, very slow, in each of its two road games this season. At home, we have cruised to victory. At home, you can't ask for more. No losses, two double-digit victories. We got to kneel in victory formation. That makes teams feel good, right? It's time to become road warriors, and it starts tomorrow. And it starts tomorrow. We'll break down the game on the show today. We'll bring on Michael Phillips from the Richmonder and also host on 910 The Fan at 10:30. Hokies pregame will be at 11 a.m. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on The Fan. And here's my reaction to Jaden Daniels making his return.
Yes! Please, Jaden! I need you back! Thank you!
Go be a king again, Jaden. We've needed you back, Jaden. I think that I've started to really notice how much of an insanely good rookie year masked the problems. The problems on the secondary. The problems with getting sacks. The problems with our offensive line. He solved everything with his heroics, right? I mean, we were scoring 29 points per game. It just felt like every game at the end of last season, if we got the ball back, we were going to win it. Well, this year, in some of those road tests, we haven't had those situations yet, because we haven't been in the game because some of the problems from last year have popped up again. We need to improve as a team and take a step forward. Jaden Daniels cannot be asked to do it all, especially in his first game back.
There needs to be a much better game plan today defensively, and I believe there will be. Because Dan Quinn was brought in here as a defensive-minded coach, and he's given keys to the offense to Cliff Kingsbury, and he's let Joe Witt be in charge of the defense, but you know that he is watching over that like a hawk. You know that he has been staying up all night trying to figure out ways to mask the problems on defense, which feels like we can't play man because we don't trust our personnel. And when they play zone, we're getting zone beaters ran on us. How do you solve that? How do you solve that? It's something that I'm sure Dan Quinn has been staying up late at night thinking about ahead of their trip to L.A., where the team will take on the Chargers tomorrow at 4:25, and Jaden Daniels making his return. I do feel like with Jaden Daniels back, we can maybe more accurately evaluate this team again. Are they at full strength? No. But the quarterback is the most important position. And to be honest with you guys, we're having Jaden throw to nobody receivers last year anyway. They became names because of Jaden Daniels. Olamide Zaccheaus had been around the league and back, right? Deami Brown had been in Washington and done nothing until you teamed him up with Jaden Daniels, right? So it's going to be a difficult game. What's unfortunate is I feel like we're going to get them there at the get the Chargers at their best, just like we got the Falcons at their best, because they're coming off of a disappointing game. But when I asked that to Logan Paulson this week, who's the host of the Take Command podcast that you should check out and also on the radio broadcast, he said, well, yeah, that's true, but the same thing for Washington. Like, they want to get this bad taste out of their mouth from the defeat to the Atlanta Falcons. So it should be a battle. What's it going to take for Washington to get the win? We want to hear from you on the show today. 1-800-636-1067. Call AWOD. 1-800-636-1067. Or tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910TheFan. Just a quick look at what I think it's going to take to win. The first thing is limiting our mistakes. Three of our four games this season, and it pisses me off to say this because I know Dan Quinn also thinks about this. We have been out-penalized than our opponent. We had seven penalties versus the Raiders. They had six. All right, the Packers game was the only one that they made a lot of mistakes with penalties, and that's probably why the score ended up being closer than it was in a game that they dominated. We have to limit our mistakes. You can't go to L.A. against the Chargers and deal with, you know, second and 20s because of holding penalties, or even first and 15s because of false starts. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you cannot give up a automatic first down on a third down. Oh, my! I lose my mind when that happens. A defensive hold, automatic first down. Pass interference, automatic first down. Stop that. Stop that. It's like they're making dumb mistakes because maybe they're not putting themselves in the right spots. But at training camp this offseason, they canceled the practice with the Ravens. And then they still had real referees there and ran a scrimmage themselves. And I believe they did that twice with real referees. So they practiced to get an advantage of, hey, this is going to be called, that's not going to be called. And yet they're still being one of the most penalized teams in the NFL. I mean, that it's a group effort to get your leaders in a room and say, we're going to stop that. We're going to not beat ourselves anymore, especially on the road. Number two, we have to be able to run the football. We have to be able to run the football. And that includes Jaden Daniels as well. Includes Jaden, because this team is 11-3 when the quarterback runs for 34 or more yards. Mariota can do it. He didn't last week, but he did the week before. And we know Jaden can, of course, run. And the number is 34 because that just is the trend. If you look at the box score, Jaden has run 34 yards, I believe, twice in victories, and 35 and higher than that. I think he's gotten up to like 86 in a game. But when he runs, it just opens things up for everybody else. It makes a safety has to hesitate. It makes an edge rusher have to really look and be sure they know that Jaden is not keeping it and getting around the outside. When Jaden runs, it sets up the running game. It sets up the passing game. I think it helps the offensive line as well. So the ground and pound, it involves Jaden, but it's everybody. And we're going to need a heavy dose of Chris Rodriguez Jr. And I'm expecting a big game from him. I actually picked him up in two different fantasy leagues. So I'm believing in C-Rod, the fourth quarter man last year, to be the first quarter man tomorrow against the L.A. Chargers. So it starts with the ground and pound, but then also we have to stop O'Murray and Hampton, right? We have got to stop him, limit his touches there. Make them want to throw Herbert 40 times because every time they run Hampton, it's a loss of a yard or nothing. And we have the ability to do that. I think our defensive line can certainly stop Amarian Hampton. He's not nearly as good as Bijan Robinson or Josh Jacobs. He's a rookie, a talented rookie out of UNC, but he is more of a north and south runner. That I do think this is like you're looking for Payne and Kinlaw to have a really good game and shut him down and make Herbert toss the rock. And then that leads to the next thing. What's it going to take for Wynn? Attacking Justin Herbert and getting him to throw on the move and not being comfortable all game long. And the Giants did a really good job of that. And we have to take advantage of the fact that they're without two offensive linemen and maybe three. You have to take advantage of that. It has not really been our strength this season or last season, rushing the passer. And we brought in Von Miller. This is a Von Miller game, though. Like, this has V-O-N Miller written all over it. Backup offensive line, right? He's going to L.A. This is a Von Miller game. When he was on the Junkies, I heard how pissed he was because he doesn't get that many snaps. When he had an opportunity to bring down Tyler Allgeier in the backfield, and he missed his shot there. And he ended up with actually a touchdown on that play. We need Von Miller to have a good game. Dorrance Armstrong has probably been our best player on the defensive line. Can he get home today? And then the last thing I'm going to point to is special teams has been our advantage. All right? If you're just focusing on kicker Matt Gay, I'm sorry, but you've been missing the new NFL. All right? We actually have not had a kick blocked or a punt fully blocked. I think one got partially blocked earlier this year, but that's been the big story of the NFL this year. And it led to the Rams' loss on Thursday Night Football. So many games have been decided by special teams. Washington's special teams have been special. Debo's in the kick return game and Jalen Lay in the punt return game. And as of late, Matt Gay has really nailed it. 4-for-4 last week, right? So special teams needs to continue to be our advantage against opponents, and that continues tomorrow against the L.A. Chargers. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. We'll get to our key matchups for the game tomorrow, Washington against the L.A. Chargers. We want to hear from you, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet me at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local, here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. This is DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can listen to me Monday through Friday if you're enjoying the show from 12 to 3 p.m., and you can check it out on the Odyssey app. Just search 910 The Fan, download it today. Anywhere you get your apps at, it is free. You can tweet me your thoughts throughout the show at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. G from the shop says, AWOD, the Chargers have been traveling back and forth to different time zones the first 4 weeks, so this road game is not your prototypical West Coast trip, especially considering they don't have a great fan base. Washington money line is his bet. I do really hope the defense will dominate. I mean, it does feel like, hey, Jaden's making his return. The focus is going to be on Jaden, but the defense should go win this game. Because I thought the defense was going to be able to go to Atlanta and win that game. And I'm really upset about that still. Because they ran some basic vanilla offense, and they got guys open. I mean, it was just, oh, Drake London's running in motion, and he's got Marshawn Lattimore on him. Oh, they're going to throw a 5-yard out route and pick up the first down. That was it. It wasn't hard. It was, and a lot of times it was hands off to Bijan. Oh, we throw it to him in the flat, but we're going to have two guys cross the middle of the field so Bobby Wagner will get stuck in traffic. Our defense just did not communicate the whole game. It was so frustrating. To give up that many points to a team that had got blanked the week before, I'm angry. I hope they're angry heading to L.A. to take on the Chargers tomorrow. Let's get to our key matchups and difference makers in Sunday's first game of the second quarter of the season. Game 5 for the Washington Commanders, and this is when things heat up. With the shortened preseason and everybody's kind of afraid to play their guys, worried about injuries, the first 4 weeks of the season have become the new preseason, and this is when the real season begins, especially teams that are 2-2. It's just so hard when you fall below 500 to climb back up. You're going to have to go on a win streak, especially with how Washington's schedule is so difficult. This is a big game that I really think we need to win. If we're going to win a road game this season, this is a perfect way to start right here. Key matchups and difference makers. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. I'm going to start with Justin Herbert's ability to convert third downs. Washington's defense has got to find a way to get off the field. And against the Atlanta Falcons, that was not the case. Too many times they picked up the first down on third down, either by penalty or we didn't tackle well, right? The missed tackles were killing me last week. And Herbert against the Giants, that's really where he struggled, right? So, you know, so many times you hear about in the NFL, the game does come down to third downs, right? Even Dan Quinn talked about it after the loss to the Chargers. I mean, to the Atlanta Falcons. He felt like that was the difference, that play right there. We were 1 of 8, and I believe they were 6 of 12. And it kind of felt like the difference when you were watching it. But why were we so inefficient on third down? Because we were dealing with third and longs, and they were dealing with third and short situations. Against the New York Giants, the Chargers were 4 of 12. And that's why the Giants got off the field over and over and over again. They got stops when they needed to. Their defense lived in that backfield, right? Their defense sacked Herbert twice, made him throw two picks. They had a few QB hits on him. I mean, their defensive line dominated because the Chargers have a bad offensive line and they're injured and they're missing some guys, right? That's like the Raiders game, I feel like. We have to take advantage of that. That's how we win this game. Justin Herbert's ability to convert third downs. Washington's defense needs to get off the field. And then, all right, we're sticking with the Chargers on offense. They're going to want to run Omarion Hampton on first down and second down, and we've got to hold him to below 3 yards a carry on those downs right there. You cannot let him get going. I want the guys to really key in on setting the edge, stuffing the middle, and just grabbing his legs and not letting him go anywhere. That's going to be a key matchup. Kicking is an obvious one, but I think it's heightened when you consider the fact that Matt Gay went 4-4 last week, and he is the reason we've lost a couple of our road games here, especially with his two misses in Green Bay. But for Washington's offense, I think the big question is going to be, can our offensive line protect Jaden Daniels? There's a reason he got hurt against the Packers, because he was constantly running for his life. They could not stop Micah Parsons, all right? Chargers don't have as good as an offensive line, but they will get after you. It starts with our offensive line protecting Jaden, giving him time in the pocket to find guys downfield, but really giving him confidence to step up in the pocket. We haven't seen that, I don't think, yet from Jaden this season. In the Giants game or the Packers game, he kind of, I don't know if maybe it was because he was feeling out Tunsil on the left and Connerly on the right, but it just, at the end of last season, all right, especially at the end of the regular season going into the playoffs, just felt like Jaden had a comfortability with his offensive line, and they weren't the best, but they protected him where he felt like when he had to take a deep shot downfield, he could step up in the pocket. I mean, you think about the Hail Mary. He was running around for 8-10 seconds, and they just kept blocking and making him have space to then throw the ball downfield. He's got to have the trust in his offensive line. And I think that's what starts on the offensive side of the ball for Washington. And then number two, it's Debo versus the Chargers, number one, and Jalen Lane, I think, versus the Chargers, number two. We've got to create some explosives. We've got to create some explosive plays. They went deep to Deebo Samuel with the game on the line, fourth down, absolutely got to have it. He beat his guy off the line and made a terrific catch in the end zone. And I'm thinking, well, that's great, but why didn't we try that earlier in the game? We have to back opponents up. We have to back them up. And I felt like Cliff Kingsbury, he struggles with this sometimes because he loves the quick stuff. He likes the no huddle. You got to take a deep shot down the field to back up the defense, or maybe you get a pass interference penalty, or maybe Deebo just makes a game-winning play, these winning time moments that Dan Quinn always talks about. You have to take a couple deep shots, right? You have to. You cannot be afraid to air it out. And I felt like last year this was the case also. And then we opened things up against the Cincinnati Bengals week three. Well, we kind of opened things up against Vegas week three, even though we didn't have Jaden Daniels. Now the Jaden's back. We got to air it out. We have to air it out. He's got that good deep ball. It was a big part of why he was the NFL's Rookie of the Year, and everyone was hyping up. Like, it was more than just the 851 rushing yards, all right? It was the fact that he had got to have it, he hit Terry McLaurin, right? Got to have it, he hit Noah Brown. Got to have it, he hit De'Ami Brown. Like, they hit big bombs last year. That's what's been missing, I think, in the Washington offense. So I start with Deebo against the Chargers number one, and then I look at Jalen Lane against the Chargers number two. I'm expecting a big game from Jalen Lane. I think I could be wrong here, and maybe it's Luke McCaffrey who's coming off of a game which he had a better showing, right? Even though I thought we were going to get more from him, given the fact that you're still without Terry McLaurin. But I do think that this is a Jalen Lane game in my mind here. I know Marcus Mariota had his guys that he was throwing to. I think Jaden Daniels is going to target Ertz a lot. I think he's going to force feed Deebo. And then I think there's going to be opportunities for Jalen Lane, maybe on a third down, to get open. And I have more faith in Jalen Lane right now than Luke McCaffrey, Tay Martin, Chris Moore. We don't have the best wide receiver group. We didn't have the best wide receiver group last year. Jaden can make guys better by throwing them open or by running around and giving them enough time to get open. That's going to be a key matchup. But as much as I'm talking about Jaden throwing the ball, we have to be able to run to win this game. I just don't think you can ask him in his first game back here to throw 35 times. All right, 30 or less. We need to be able to run the ball. And the stats say Washington, one of the best rushing offenses in the league. But they're not close to the top in attempts, right? They've gotten away from it. Now is the game to test that, all right? Is it just, oh, we've had a few big runs, Chris Rodriguez broke free, Bill broke free, or is Washington a team that can't actually truly pound the rock? Can we run the ball successfully on the road and win a game? I think you've got to try that in the first half of this game, and then you can't be afraid to go back to it in the third and fourth quarter or a crucial drive late in this game. We have got to be able to run on the road to get a win. I'm looking forward to this one, and I really am expecting a better defensive performance. I told the junkies this week, this is a game here where I'm cool, I'm calm, I'm relaxed, and I'm confident we'll get a win. And if we lose, though, then you're going to hear a different AWOD next week. Because I really believe that we are a better team than the Chargers. We've got our quarterback back. That's going to be energy right there. That should be momentum, right? I mean, think about how Jackson Dart, right? Giants made that trade. There was just a different energy in that game. It was his ability to run the football, pick up a big third down, right? And they had their best performance against the Chargers. You're telling me Jaden Daniels is going to lose to the Chargers the week after Jackson Fart beats them? Hell no. This is a Jaden Daniels specialty game right here. I'm looking forward to this. I believe Washington will get the win and move back above 500 to 3-2. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local, here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. This is DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast, Team 980. Got you covered on both ends of the dial. 106.7 FM, 980 AM in Richmond, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Noah's available on the go with the free Odyssey app just after 9:30 here on a Saturday, October 4th. Appreciate you making me part of your Saturday morning routine. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. So we'll get back to previewing Commanders, Chargers for a second here. We've got Metal Chris who runs the ones and twos. I want to up the phone lines right now, 1-800-636-1067. Give me your thoughts on the first 4 weeks of the season. You can give me one positive and one negative. Chris, let me know if you have one, because the obvious one for me, positive Deebo Samuel, negative Marshawn Lattimore. He has been so much more than I expected in terms of Deebo's ability to make plays down the field. It certainly feels like it has helped that he got a full training camp with the boys. He seems to understand his role in this offense, and Cliff Kingsbury has done a great job to get him involved. I believe he's at 250 all-purpose yards in terms of rushing and receiving so far this season. He's your Swiss Army knife. He's your wide back. Right, he's a running back and a wide receiver, and I think you actually could see him more in the backfield as we continue through the season here. But he has been one awesome positive, and the negative has been Marshawn Lattimore. And I know people are like, "Oh, it was a dumb trade." I still think it was the right idea. And I will probably defend this trade way longer than Adam Peters will be here in Washington, D.C. Like, I think that was the right move. Your team was 6-2, gotten to 7-2. You thought you were going to win the Super Bowl. Who cares if Marshawn Lattimore had a banged-up hamstring? You had to do something to get better on defense. It didn't work, but you have to swing. You have to swing. You have to take that shot, right? And so that's one positive, and that's one negative. You got one for me, Metal Chris.
Which were you asking for, positive or negative first?
One of each, man.
All right, so I think for a negative, the thing I have really wanted to see more of this season and not really been materializing a lot is more defensive turnovers.
Yeah.
And you know, some of that goes to the DBs too and stuff, but man, we got to see more of that. And I think my positive is going to be Lane, man. That guy, the rookie, has just been, I want to see him get the ball more. Every time he's got the ball, I feel excited.
Yeah. No, he takes off so quick, right? And he hit the top speed of, I believe, 21 miles an hour on his 90-yard punt return. Just feels like forever since we've had, you know, a special teams threat back there. I remember Brandon Banks like 10 years ago. But you're so right about defensive turnovers. And I think what's frustrating about that is, you know, it takes two to tango. Like, we can play solid defense, and we played really solid against the Giants. We didn't have a turnover. We had an interception that was called back, right? Because there was a penalty. But to create a defensive turnover, you need somebody to drop the ball on the turf and fumble, right? Or you could punch it out, but for the most part, you need somebody to drop it. And same with an interception. You need a quarterback to make a bad throw. And, well, number one, we haven't had enough pressure on quarterbacks to force them to make some bad throws to get our key interception outside of the one where Michael Penix was confused and threw it right to Mikey Sainer still. I don't know what he was looking at. And to force fumbles, we got to hit harder. And we haven't even been able to tackle. We haven't even been able to successfully tackle right so far this season. Give me one positive, one negative. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You know, last year, there was all this talk about, are we creating enough pressure around the edge to get after the quarterbacks? And Dante Fowler Jr. led us in sacks, and we let him go. Well, the Commanders have 10 sacks so far this season, which is 12th in the NFL. It's not bad. But when you consider that half of those sacks came in one game against one of the worst offensive lines in football in the Vegas Raiders, it shows you that we're still having the same issue of rushing the passer and not getting home. That's the big part, not getting home. Because I feel like at times we're having good pressure, but we're just not getting home. And then you have to say one big negative has been the slow starts to a season and slow starts to a game here. And we just – that kind of popped up this year, but was not something that was under Dan Quinn last year, I felt like. I almost felt like every single game last year, except for maybe Tampa Week 1, where we were blown out. Like, Dan Quinn had his guys inspired to play. They had a good game plan. They executed it, or they adjusted at halftime. And we were in almost every single game. And for some reason, on the road, you trailed 14-0 midway through the second quarter against the Packers in Lambeau. You trailed 10-0 after just an awful first quarter last week. You have got to stop falling behind, especially because this team is so good when they play with a lead. The theme of last year, it felt like to me, was, all right, we love to play with a lead, but don't you dare give us a two-score lead, because that's game over. Good night. You give Washington a two-score lead, that Cliff Kingsbury's got a million pages of his playbook wide open. He can run. He can do a flea flicker screen to Austin Eckler. He can have Jaden Daniels roll out and throw it deep. Last year, that was when you knew Washington was going to win, it was when they got a two-score lead. They rarely ever lost a game after that. This year, it's been we're trailing by two scores, which just changes everything in terms of our game plan offensively. We want to be able to run, play action off of that, do some Jaden running, do some screen tunnel screens that are kind of an extension of the running game there, and control time of possession. And we haven't been able to do that this year. So that's absolutely going to be one of the things that we're going to need to do to beat the Chargers. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to John in Newburg. John, you're on the Fan with AWOD. What's up, John?
Hey, AWOD, how you doing? Okay, I think the one main positive is, of course, Debo. The main negative is how Dan Quinn handles the clock with 2 minutes left before the end of each half.
Yeah,
it's just appalling. And if you look at it, if he would have got a touchdown or at least some kind of score in the Green Bay game and the Atlanta game, that would have changed the outcome of the whole game. It's just like he's trying to lose. He's trying not to lose, that he's not trying to win.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just terrible.
I'm going to give him a pass for those two, but we'll certainly be keeping an eye on it. Number one, with Green Bay, you were struggling offensively, and you're in Lambeau, and I really think they thought, well, we're down by 11. Let's get a field goal right before half, and then we'll win it or tie it with a touchdown in Green Bay. In Atlanta, they played scared, and I think it was because of Mariota, but you're right. I mean, this team was so much better last year in those situations. That certainly is a negative. Great call with Debo, man. I mean, is this everything you've expected and more in terms of what you got from Debo Samuel?
But Adam, I want to change the subject real quick. I appreciate you being Mr. Positive, but I think cutesy time is over. I think the honeymoon is over. I think you need to go back and be Mr. Constructive Criticism. I'm not saying Mr. Negative, but you need to stop busting chops like you did in the past. That's like in your persona. So I appreciate you being more critique-ish of the team.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for chiming in. It's just I'm trying to stay so positive because last year was the best year I've ever seen in my life. 12 wins. And I believe in Dan Quinn. He was the coach I wanted here, and so I'm staying so positive while this team is 500. If we lose this week, I'm going to call out everybody next week. But right now, 2-2, and your starting quarterback only played two games, and you've lost three guys basically for the season already. I mean, this is fine. 2-2. We can absolutely go on a three-game win streak right now with L.A., Chicago, and Dallas. I mean, we could be talking about a team that all of a sudden is 5-2 again, just like they were last year. That's why I'm trying to stay ultra positive. Nothing has changed in my mind in terms of what Jaden Daniels is for this franchise. We played that right. As much as that was frustrating for a fan base here, we played that right because he should be 100%. He should be 100% here. He was injured on September 11th. It's been nearly a month, right? It's probably been 22 days since then, right? 23 days. He should be fine. He should be good. And now, you know, you got to see what you got here on defense. You got to make some adjustments. I really think Joe Witt's going to have to just blitz. Because I would be so fine with, like, sending the house and letting Justin Herbert throw it up on the sidelines. Because as much as Marshawn Lattimore stinks right now, he has not – I feel like I haven't seen him get burnt over the top, right? He's given up 5, 10, 15 yards in front of him, but we haven't seen him get burnt over the top. At least I haven't yet, all right? And so I would rather blitz and let Herbert air it out, and maybe we get a chance for an interception, or maybe they get a big explosive play, than to give him time in the pocket to just carve us up. Left, right, throwing it across the middle, dump offs to the running back. Like, I would send extra pressure early in this game also. I thought Robert Saleh had just a terrific game plan. We've seen how good the Rams are. They are a missed extra point and a blocked field goal away from being undefeated and the best team in the NFC. And they were so close. They were the closest team to beating the Eagles last year. The Rams are damn good, right? And Robert Saleh came in as the defensive coordinator for the 49ers on Thursday Night Football. And he brought pressure in Stafford's face. And they didn't look like themselves 90% of that first half, right? So this is, I need Joe Witt Jr. to have that violent defense in the first half of this game against the Chargers. Come after Justin Herbert. Come after him. If he throws it deep, all right, fine. We'll give up a big play, all right? But I would much rather let him air it out there and try to expose our weakness on the secondary in a deep pass rather than these 10 yards. Because I really think that's where we can make a play. Amos made a good play against the Packers. I think Samuel still can make a play in the air. It's when these guys are running routes and we're behind them here, we're just giving up 10, 15 yards. Too many times, and teams are just moving the ball down the field. So I want to send more pressure. If you look on the Commanders' website, it's pretty simple. We got to establish the run, take advantage of the Chargers' banged-up offensive line, and force turnovers. How many weeks can we ask this team to force turnovers before they actually get a couple of them? We got Mikey Sanders last week, but it was just right after Marcus Mariota's awful turnover. And then the fact that we didn't convert that into 7 points, you might as well have just had them punt. That's what we talk about with complimentary football. When you get that key interception, you got to have the offense go out there and turn it into 7 points. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always on the go with the free Odyssey app. We want to hear from you, 1-800-636-1067, sizing up this matchup between the Chargers and the Commanders. And the similarities between both these teams is kind of interesting to me. I mean, both teams are coming off of a brutal loss, right? I mean, Washington didn't expect to lose that game going to Atlanta, especially after their performance against Carolina. And I think the Chargers took Jackson Dart and the Giants too lightly, and they were embarrassed in that defeat. And so I think both teams are coming in to this game pissed off and wanting to put together their best performance and get good film on tape. Both teams, playoff teams, right? Feel like they belong in the playoffs. Both coaches, right? Second chance NFL head coaches. Both teams feel like they have their franchise quarterback. And both teams are kind of both chasing greatness in their own division, with the Chargers chasing the Chiefs every year, even though they've got the lead right now, and Washington chasing Philadelphia. It's going to be a big battle here, and I think Washington has got to take advantage of the Chargers' injuries on their offensive line. That's why I'm calling for us to blitz. That's why I'm calling for us to get pressure in Justin Herbert's face and get off the field, get the ball back to Jaden Daniels, and let him control the time of possession in this game. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to James in Woodbridge. What's up, James?
Hey, good morning, man. Happy Saturday, my brother.
Thank you, man. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Listen, brother, I got to disagree with you. First of all, I think they would get roasted. Quentin Johnson Keenan Allen, even Ladd McConkey, all of them would have 100-plus yards if they just blitz like crazy because they cannot cover right now, and it's because these guys are out of place, man. Marcus Lattimore is the biggest liability. He needs to be moved to safety or something, strong safety where he could come up and hit because he can't cover anyone. Put Sammer still out there. They got to get creative with their blitz. They can't blitz all day because that's going to put these guys on an island. And right now, Awad, you would just be offense versus offense, man. There would be no chance for them. And if
I think that's our chance.
100%,
hold on. James, I think that's our chance to go out and outscore them with Jaden Daniels and our weapons. Look, I see what you're saying, but we played zone against Michael Penix, and he went 20 of 26. You don't think Justin Herbert would carve us up if we just sit back and say, hey, beat us with 5 or 10-yard passes? He would destroy
100%.
Us.
100%. Listen, I agree with you. I don't think you can just sit in zone all day, but I think I also don't agree that you could just blitz these guys all day because if you think Atlanta had weapons, look at what Quentin Johnson is doing this year. Like, he's out of nowhere, just a nightmare. And what I'm getting at is more about not so much even the blitzing, but it's the team members because Marcus Lattimore is the biggest bust right now.
Marshawn
Lattimore. I know he's got pedigree, but you know we got to look at just talking this one up as a nightmare and either making another trade or just putting him in a different position because there's nothing that defensive line, if they're getting pressure on the D line, but they're not holding up and in a zone, like you said, they're getting eaten up. So if they make a switch schematically and they also put some different people in different positions, you know Sammer's fine. So move him out of the nickel slot. Get somebody else there. But ultimately, if Jaden is not 100% and we know he's coming back after 2 weeks, a shootout is not what you want to be in. You're going to want to have a turnover or two.
Yeah.
So I disagree, Adam. But great call. Great talking as always, brother.
Yeah, good stuff, James. I understand what you're saying. I just think their offensive line is the weakness and it's not fully healthy. You got to go after them. This is we had people ask Dan Quinn at the podium this week, has Frankie Louvu, you felt like, been used in the right spots? It seems like he's been backing up more instead of going forward. This is when you rush Louvu. Bobby Wagner up the middle. Take advantage of the fact that their offensive line is beat up. Yes, they've got great players on the outside, but if he doesn't have time to throw it to them, they're not going to be able to make a play. That's my strategy for this weekend. Let's go to Lou in D.C. on line three. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Wad, what's going on, my guy? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Can't complain, man. I don't want to single out one guy. I'm going to single out the entire defense, and I'm going to single out Cliff, man, because I feel like, you know, I don't want to just say Marshawn because, you know, if you don't have a pressure coming from the defensive end side of the ball, I mean, you know, sometimes these corners going to get beat. So at the end of the day, if they don't, you know, seem like, I don't know, man. I thought we added some, you know, some free agent this season, going to the season. And I feel like, you know, some of them got hurt. But that defensive end, I mean, you're not getting anything out of that. I mean, they're not getting no pressure whatsoever. So that's just one of the reasons why we get beat. And as far as Cliff goes, man, I feel like he's, you know, just – I don't know what it is, man. He's just not calling the right call sometimes, man. He just, you know, like even with Jaden when we play that Green Bay game, man, I'm like, why are you running the ball, man? If you need to throw the ball and throw the ball and beat these guys, and that's the only way you could beat these guys in, by throwing the ball and let Jaden beat himself. But – I just felt like Cliff needed to kind of, you know, open up the playbook, and you got a bunch of receivers, man. Don't tell me you waiting on Noah or Terry, man. Use, you know, like I told you like a week ago, McCaffrey. I mean, he made plays and use him, man. He could get open, wide open for six, for touchdowns. So I feel like Cliff needed to open up the playbook and, you know, do some of the things that he used to do like a year ago. As far as the defense goes, like I said, man, not getting enough pressure from the defensive side of the ball is just kind of, you know, hurt in the corners, and I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to single out Marshawn. I mean, he's healthy, but it's just, you know, you need that pressure from the DN. I mean, you know, I felt like, what's his name, 24.
Von Miller.
Yeah, he's just, he's not himself. I mean, he had a sack like a week ago, but he let that guy, not a sack, but the running back, man, he had him in the backfield, and he let him off the hook, and he ran it for a touchdown. So, we you know, these defensive end need to make plays and pressure, you know, the guy from the Chargers, man. You can't let him sit back and stretch you, and hopefully we can get that tomorrow. If not, you know, it's going to be another long week, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you taking my call, AY.
Yep, Lou, good to hear from you. And I want to talk about what you were saying with Cliff Kingsbury. Good call, Lou. Thanks for chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I mean, this is a big week for Cliff Kingsbury. Like, there's no preseason, regular season anymore, right? Like, this, you've had your first four weeks. This is the real deal. Time to open up the playbook now. He was dealt a bad hand. He was, and he's talked about it at the podium, right? I need my guys to touch grass. He was pissed off. I think everybody saw that Terry McLaurin was holding out. And so he literally had, like, Chris Moore and others running Terry McLaurin routes. And because of that, I think the offense is kind of behind. And that's why we saw Debo was there. Debo's been fed, right? For some reason, they haven't been able to get Ertz going as much as they did last year. And then you also have to consider, well, Cliff Kingsbury called two games this year already for a backup quarterback. So he's been dealt a bad hand, but now that you got your guy back in Jaden Daniels, I do need him to have a great game plan, have some important calls in this one to pick up the chains on third down there and move the football. I do think that Marcus Mariota played well against the Falcons, but the 1 of 8 on third down, like, Jaden can do better than that. I believe he can, and I think Cliff can call better plays for him to execute that. And then the entire defense does need to improve. I mean, he's right. He called out Von Miller, and everyone's talking about Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, we need much better performance on defense, and that's why I think, with our issues in the secondary, I would send pressure here and just not be able to have, Herbert stand in that pocket for 6 seconds and find somebody downfield. Make him constantly be on the move. The Chargers are facing offensive line injuries that are really starting to hurt their production. Joe Alt, Mekhi Becton, Rashawn Slater, we have to take advantage of a beat-up offensive line. Blitz, that's what I'm asking for. And get home to the quarterback. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.